Why, oh, why, oh, why, oh, why you keep fucking with me? You gon' make me jump out my skin, believe me.
Not another girl pod.
Push these niggas off me like, push these bitches off me like, push these niggas off me like, pushing the snakes, I'm pushing the fakes, I'm pushing them all on me.
Not another girl pod.
Yeah. I be immune to shit. Tucking the broom and shit.
Woo! Yes!
Like, who?
What's up, guys? We are back. We are back on Not Another Girl Pod. Sorry for the hiatus, but we are here. I am your host for the night. I am Bunny. You know all my AKAs from Sucio Boys. Tune in every Tuesday. And I got my girl Tiger with me.
Hey, what's good? I'm in this bitch. Ow. It's your girl Tiger Pearl. You know what it do, AKA Danny Yeller, Danny Badu, Tiger Lily, Zoro Waifu. And some of y'all know me as your sensei. What's up?
Hey, Danny Badu is my favorite one on that.
My best friend gave me that one.
I love that one. So, you guys, we've been away for a while, but we are here to stay. We just had some changes, some shit going on. And with that being said, we are going to welcome my girl Tiger permanently onto Not Another Girl Pod.
Hey, I'm in this bitch. I'm moving in.
She's moving in. This is not just a drive-by.
It's not just a drive-by. I'm definitely moving in. Okay, I got me a new roommate right now, y'all.
Hey, it's about to go down. Shout out to my girl, Cordy.
Yes, thank you, Cordy, for all the amazing episodes.
Yeah, shout out to Cordy. Sure. She'll be missed. I'm sure she'll pop in here and there, but definitely she's still a big part of us because she helped create this. But right. Shout out to her.
She's on to bigger and better things.
Yes. So tell the people about yourself, Tiger.
You know, most of y'all pretty much know me around the network. You're friendly neighborhood network bitch. So I'm out here in these streets. No, I'm kidding. I am your resident nerd and auntie, favorite auntie, and pretty much I keep a lot of these niggas in line. Yeah. Pretty much sums it up.
That's right on spot.
Gather them together.
Yes.
That's what we do.
Yeah, when shit hits the fan, Tiger's the one who's like, all right, you know what, I've had enough of this shit.
Shit or get off the pot. All right.
She'll definitely tell it like it is, but I am grateful for you to have volunteered yourself to join, because I was like, oh my god, what am I gonna do? But it kind of worked out, so it's dope. But just for you guys out there that are joining us and don't know how I know Tiger, we actually met through the Discord as well.
Ow.
We
Internet
started
lurkers.
Yeah. We started chatting. I don't even know how.
During the pandemic, probably.
Yes, I got into the other Discord that we're on, and she was like the dopest one there. Like, we just kind of clicked and started talking, and then we just started like DMing each other.
That's a fact.
We're like, fuck it, let's have our own conversation.
Exactly. Sidebar. Okay, let's compare notes. That's what me and Bunny do. Our relationship is built off of sharing beautiful memes and connecting deeply on our thoughts on what these fuck niggas do on the regular. So.
That is exactly what it is. She summed it up pretty on spot. But so yeah, that's how we met. It just kind of became a friendship through the pandemic. Just kind of how I've met a lot of the people that are on the network, actually all of you. We just kind of started chatting, and then we started hopping on BC, having deep conversations, and we were like, fuck it, let's pod.
Pretty much.
So here we are, and it's been fun. It's been dope. I like it.
We've come a long way together. We've gone through a lot of trials and tribulations, but we still here.
Bro, hella changes in like, what, 6 months?
Yeah. But you know, people are getting back to work. The real world is coming back and with force, and it's hella expensive out here. So I know niggas got to get to work. So I understand shit changed.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely shit's going on out there. But how's your week been? How's your weekend?
Pretty crazy. Just, you know, I thought I was going to take it easy, and I ended up at the local watering hole. You know how that goes. I just ended up out there and ran into some old high school classmates and shit. It was good to see some old faces, but yeah, definitely need to stay my ass back in the house. No, I'm out here. I don't give a fuck. I'm vaccinated.
She's vaxxed and waxed.
Vaxxed and waxed. Okay. I got my card. It's not fake or forged.
Right. Yeah. Oh, shit. Nah, for real. There is some fake ones out there.
But I mean, honestly, I was literally just listening to the Kendrick album the entire weekend. Like, I have not stopped.
Seriously. Same here. Same here. I've been sick. I've been sick since like Friday.
Oh no.
And then my roommate, she's a server at a restaurant, and they called her off on Sunday, and she was like, bro, they called me off like Sunday fun day. And I was like, I don't know, I'm really sick. And then but I made the bad choice and was like, all right, fuck it, let's go out.
Oh, you powered through. So what kind of drinks did you get while you're feeling bad? Did you get like a bunch of like hot toddies or like some Moscow mules?
Nah, so we went to go have sushi, and we had sake at sushi.
Okay. Okay, that's not too bad.
No, but then we stopped on the way home. We're like, fuck it, it's fucking Sunday. The sun's still out. So we stopped on the way home, and we bought a bottle of tequila, so we were drinking.
There we go. I was waiting for the tequila. I was waiting.
We drank tequila at home, and then we were just, like, playing, like, fucking hood rap music and just, like, dancing in the living room. It was funny. We had a good time.
That's good. You probably sweated it out. You sweat out the cold.
But I was hating life on Monday morning. I was like, I shouldn't have done that. My body was like, you're a fucking bitch.
Yeah, no, definitely. I was hungover on Sunday, though, because I had gone out Saturday night. So Sunday, I was stuck to the couch until about 11.
How do you cure your hangovers?
Weed. And throw that bitch up. Like, get it out. The fuck? Don't just keep suffering through it. Like, I should have thrown up before I went to sleep, honestly. Just don't let it sit. Don't process it. Don't process it. Because honestly, I'll wake up in the middle of the night drunker than when I went to sleep. I'm like, fuck, now I got to deal with this. Now I'm stuck. Now I'm in it, and there's no turning back now. So if you get a chance, just get it on up. There's no shame.
You know, whenever I get a hangover, I like think about like, what do people who don't smoke weed do? Because I just fucking roll one
coffee is not enough. Exactly. Smoke weed and chill, pretty much. Get something to eat, get some fucking eggs. But like, people who just drink coffee, I don't know, that's not enough. I'm gonna need a cigarette then at that point. Like, cigarette. I'm smoking something. Some getting smoked.
Yeah, no, I smoke a joint and then drink lots of water, take some Tylenol, and get something to eat that's like heavy, like with bread or something like that.
Okay, yeah.
And so yeah, me and my roommate ended up ordering. Usually, be looking for
pancakes.
Pancakes?
Yeah.
I don't like pancakes.
I know, you're so strange. Oh my gosh. Who the fuck doesn't like pancakes? What the fuck?
What do you mean? There's literal tons of us.
They're cakes. They're cakes for breakfast. You're allowed to have cake for breakfast, bro. Like, it's a dessert.
Nah, them shits is not the business. Like the
syrup, but you like waffles?
I like waffles, yeah, with butter.
Get the fuck out of here, bro. The same exact shit, it's just shaped differently. Get the fuck out of here. Bunny, stop.
I like waffles with butter.
Okay, you can put butter on the... Look, girl, you better
quit. I ain't doing no pancake, all right? I'm not gonna have this argument with you.
Okay. I'm telling you, the waffle mix is the pancake mix. They just put it... Never mind, I'm gonna stop.
I like them squared. I like them squared. It's hilarious. All right, well, let's get into this shit, Tiger, because we got shit to cover today. And
that's a fact.
Excuse me, when we were talking
I'm glad we got some funny out of here, because we're about to get serious.
Yes, we are about to get serious here. When we were talking about this over pre-pod, it was kind of like, all right, we got to work our way into this. So we're going to talk about the dopest album that has been released yet, in my perspective, because I am a Kendrick Lamar head. I love him. I have been rocking with him since Section 80, probably even before that.
Yeah, some of his mixtapes before that.
Because I'm just like a big TD groupie, or whatever you want to call it. So I like love his discography that he has. To me, it's Section 80.
Yeah.
Which other one?
His Good Kid, Mad City.
Yeah, How to Pimp a Butterfly. Mm-hmm. I was talking to somebody about like these albums, and I'm just like he has his like dope songs that you can like listen to, like riding in the car, or just like hanging out, and then he has like his poetic side.
Yeah.
And that is where I find his dopeness, is on his poetic side.
I like both. I'm here for the turn up. I'm here for the poetic part. I'm here for the introspection, the vulnerability. I'm here for it all.
For sure. Well, we're going to get started. We chose three songs out of the album that he just dropped, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. Ew. If you do not know about it, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, don't listen to the rest of this until you finish listening to that album at least 6 times. That's how many times it takes for you to listen to this pod.
yes, for real. This is not a lie. But I'm telling you. We picked three songs out of this album. The first one that we're going to kind of dissect it and give our opinion on it is The Thought of This. Obviously, we're not experts or anything, but we have been through some trauma and have dealt with some shit in our lives. So definitely think that we can touch on it. The first one that we're going to talk about is We Cry Together. And I'm just going to play a little clip of it just, you know, to get the gist of it.
The beginning is so beautiful.
You know it's gonna be a dope song already, just by listening to that,
right? It's like the heralding angels coming down.
This is what the world sounds like.
Not another girl pod.
I swear I'm tired of these emotional ass, ungrateful ass bitches, unstable ass, confrontational ass, dumb bitches. You wanna bring a nigga down, even when I'm trying to do right. We can go our separate ways right now. You can move on with your life.
Fuck you, nigga. You love a pity party. I won't show up. Always act like your shit don't stink, motherfucker. Grow up.
So I wanted to give the back and forth on that, because that's basically the entire song, is they go back and forth. It's like an argument going on, but they touch on so much and just going back and forth.
It's just super intense. Like I was going to say, the songs that we picked for this pod, they're not my favorite songs by like any means. But they're the hardest ones for me to listen to because there's so much in it. There's so much trauma. There's so much pain. And there's so much to unpack. So, yeah.
But you're absolutely right. These are not like the favorite songs from the album, but it is a lot to unpack in these songs. So we pick We Cry Together, Mother I Sober, and Auntie Diaries. And basically, Me Cry Together is like an argument between a couple. They're going back and forth, and then they're just kind of like spewing all their trauma in between going back and forth, and then like throwing shit in each other's faces that they've done to each other or for each other in the relationship. And then they go into like the societal trauma of that shit all into one fucking song. Like, what the fuck?
All rolled up into one. And I feel like We Cry Together is like the advice you need to take away from this song is, you know, we all come up with our own shit. Like, everyone's always said this, like, everyone has their own problems. And like, when you come into a relationship, I feel like it's so important to already have your trauma and whatever you dealt with in your upbringing, take the time to unlearn it, the inherited traumas in your upbringing before coming into a real relationship and like a real mature relationship. And I feel like, you know, both of these people, Paige or Taylor Paige and Kendrick in this, they sound so hurt. Like, they both have their points that they're making, and the other person is not listening or acknowledging or accepting anything. Everyone is continuing to point fingers at each other. And then it turns into like they're hurting each other. Hurt people, right? So it's just more hurt covering up more hurt. And then they use sex to cover all that up. You know what I mean? At the end of the song, which is like the most telling part, because it's just like turning the sex into violence, you know, on themselves again. And it's just like compounded in this damn song. It's a lot. It's a lot. What did you think, like, your first time listening to it?
Well, the first time listening to it, I was like, damn, this song is fucking dope. Like, it just, and I mean, it's unpacking trauma, but the way that it was put together, it just kind of takes you through a storyline. So my first time listening to it, I was just like, damn, like, some of the stuff that was said in there was like, oh shit, like, that's just kind of like deep. It touched me. It was kind of like, ooh, like, I'm gonna be honest, after listening to this album that night, I just kind of like shut down. I was like, fuck that, I'm going to bed. Like, it was just, it started off like real dope, like, oh shit, this is like, you're excited, you're waiting for it, and then you're listening to it and you're just like, oh shit, he's talking to us.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's why, honestly, I wanted to stay up when the Discord was going crazy when it first dropped, but I was just like, I know y'all about to be up, but I'm gonna just get up and listen to it in the morning with a clear head, because I know I'm gonna need to hear everything he's saying. And like, it's just gonna be a lot of adrenaline, you know what I mean, when you're waiting for it like that. I'm sure it's a lot, because you're just so happy and you know, hearing and listening to the sounds of what he's put together, the production on it and everything, looking for the bops, looking for the you know, the captions for next day and shit, and you know, your hashtags or whatever. But honestly, there's so much more to, whenever you keep listening, you keep finding new things every time.
Yeah, I listened to it twice that night. The first time around, I was like, you know, real excited, just like you said, a lot of adrenaline going on. And then the second time I listened to it, I was just like, damn, this shit is deep. Like, I need to just like sit with it. So I'm just gonna put it down and we'll listen to it tomorrow. One of the things that touched me in this song is just like, there was parts where she was like, where they were both expressing what they've done for each other in this relationship, they were like, I've done this for you, but I've done this for you. And then they start going into like, look what you've done to me. Look at what you turned me into. I was like, damn, that shit like happens constantly in a relationship, where you start, you know, trying to talk, and then you just start throwing shit at each other, and then that's where the ego comes, and then that they start like mocking each other, saying shit to each other, like, you know, where she's saying, like, should have found a bigger dick to suck, like,
yo, oh, she shit. Was popping on the beat. I was like, yes, tell her, you better tell him off the fuck, clap on the
yes. I was like, damn,
she
like
did her thing. She's not an, like a singer, I don't think. She's an actress, right? So
she's I guess they call her a rapper now, but yeah, she's an actress.
Really? I didn't know she rapped, because I mean, like, she did it.
Oh, but no, she
her voice sounded like a cartoon character, though, in some ways. Yeah, it was very animated. It was like you could see the whole interaction happening. They walking in, fighting in the damn living room and shit, you know. So that's how it looked like in my mind anyway.
Yeah, even down to the ending where she's like, fuck me. And you're just like, oh, fuck.
You exactly. Know? No, fuck me. Fuck. And I was like, are you serious? Yeah, bend me over this couch. What the fuck?
When I was mad. I was like, no, bitch, don't do it. I was like,
bitch, the fuck? When did he? I don't understand. This went whole left. Just trying to, you know, not take no accountability and cover it up with fucking sex. I was like, damn, are we serious right now? Yes, this is how we do it. Just keep on, you know.
Yep, and then that really happens in relationships. Like, you start fighting and shit, and then you're just like, you don't mean that. And then you start, like, turning that into sex, and it's just like, oh, okay. And then the real issue turns
toxic.
Never gets addressed. Because you cover it with sex.
Yeah, it gets to be a toxic cycle, because then it's like, how do we, then if you want to stop having sex for that reason, then you're like, oh, you don't love me anymore? You're withholding? then it comes back on you, yo.
Reverse psychology. She fucking says it in the song.
Okay.
There was the last verse that Kendrick rapped. He's talking about just women being fake innocent. That we pretend. And then he says, let's be real.
Oh, and he was like, you guys don't, all the rap bitches don't feature in each other's songs.
Exactly. And
when he was like, when so-and-so got her job, you didn't want to go out and all that other. You
know, yeah, he's like, let's not talk supporting. The truth. Women in general just can't get along. That's fucking true, man. So like,
I don't think so.
It's like, it's so true. Like, we be, you know, preaching, oh, you know, uplift women, be like this, be like that. And then behind closed doors, it's like, fuck that bitch. Or, you know, you just be hating and shit and saying nasty shit or not even like trying to understand the situation. But like, I just
in
like
the general, way that- I don't know. I guess maybe it's just my particular circle. I don't move that way. So I don't move around other people that, you know what I mean? So I feel like in general, that's, again, a generalization. So I'm not going to generalize everybody. And I don't think women as a whole do hate each other. Like, we're there to uplift each other. And it comes like more like through a leader or mentorship role down. Like, it has to be a hierarchy of it, of course, for there to be respect there. Now, in terms of peers and your own friends and who you move with, that's solely dependent on your own personality. And that's my opinion. So, and that could be for any person.
Yeah, no, and I totally agree with you as far as it goes. Is people that are important to you in your life, whether they're family or not. But, you know, you hold that hierarchy where you're just like, I respect this person. This person is teaching me something and passing it down.
And I feel like women do that for the world. You know, you have your teachers, you have your coaches, you have your cheerleader team, soccer moms all over the place. You know what I mean? Like, those women are.
I agree with you, because we carry that sensitivity, you know? Like, that's our nature, to be caregivers and do stuff like that. I'm just talking about like social media, like women in social media is what I was referring to. Like, okay. And I know that it's very far in between there's women like you, because you're right. You're different. You're not in the generalization. Right. But if we look at it in the big scope, like, that's generally how women are.
I don't know. I can't say that. I don't know all women. And women don't fucking know themselves, and men don't know them real selves either. That's why I mean, I'm sorry. I just look at it differently. That's why I don't like those generalizations.
Fine.
When I heard it in the song too, I immediately disagree with Kendrick too. So that's how I feel. I know other people, of course, are going to go with that narrative or whatever, but I mean, I'm here for Black Girl Magic. I'm here for women empowerment. And they got the pink pussy hats out there. I know he feels like it's a cheap, there are fake feminists. Yes, of course there are, but there's still a sistership out there and a camaraderie. I don't know what brotherhood looks like because I haven't seen a Million Man March in forever. So, I mean, nobody talks about that.
There was a flood. A flash flood of distinguished men in Atlanta this weekend.
Distinguished? This sounds like a Tyler Perry flick.
No, there was. I'll retweet it so y'all can see it. But I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, I tend to disagree with that because I do think that brotherhood exists. It's not in the level that that is seen in women because it's not normal for them, I guess you can say. But they have, like, I've seen group of men who have like their brotherhood and they stay loyal to each other and they're like just like, you know, that's my brother, that's my homie, and they're like, you know, they've been rocking with each other forever and they stand up for each other, like they always have each other's back. So I do think that exists.
I've seen the same with sisterhoods.
Yeah,
that's
no,
crazy,
I'm not saying,
bunny.
I'm not saying that it doesn't exist. I'm just saying, like, from my perspective and what is being so, like, how I broke out the song, right? It was like them fighting, throwing shit at each other, shit that they've done to each other, and then there's a blowing point where they hurt their ego and start like bringing in the trauma. Like, she tells him that he has issues because of his mom. She starts bringing out all this trauma. So then he starts like bringing out all the trauma as well. And then it ends with that, like it being like in a societal level, like how society is being perceived. So that's what I was trying to like get to. It's like, I can see where that comes from, because when you get on social media, when you get on platforms, it's consistently women saying shit about each other.
But again, that's what's pushed on social media, and that's not a real reality. Social media is not reality. It's fake.
To you, it's fake.
I know, but I mean, to a lot of people, they need to realize reality. Like, when all these computers turn off, y'all got to deal with each other's real people out here. That's why you don't know how to have real relationships out here. Like, I don't know. I'm sorry. I come from the analog world. So I'm out here. Like, I'm in the world as well as I know how to use the fucking computer. But, you know, for the generations that come up after us, I understand that they think that social media is the end all be all. Just like we thought the TV, everything we saw on TV was what was in real life, that we're supposed to have, you know, everything like we see on fairy tales on TV and live Disney princess lives. And we know that's false because it's TV, it's fake. But there's a difference on social media and with reality TV that kind of bled into social media, you know what I mean? Like, all of it's entertainment, and that's the thing that I feel people need to take that away. This shit on the computer, all that, these are tools to entertain ourselves or to further ourselves. It just depends on how you want to use it.
For sure. I completely agree with you on that. And I completely agree with you on the fact that social media is not real. But that's how like people live now, you know?
Yeah, I know.
They live by that, societal rules now is social media. Whatever you see in social media, that's what people live by.
Yeah, but that's not translating for flesh. How is that translating to your flesh?
It's not doing shit for you.
Exactly. It's not feeding your flesh. It's not feeding you. It's not feeding your spirit. None of that. What is it? You know what I mean? So I understand people make money. They make their livelihoods and things off the internet. But again, it's a tool. You know what I mean? It should be treated as such. And it should not be seen as a model to live our lives after. I really hope people take that away for sure too, that, you know, just because society says things are this or that way or tend to be this or that way, it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to stay that way. It doesn't. So they say that this is like, do you treat people like that? And you know what I mean? Like, it starts every day with what you do every day. You know what I mean? Little things. So I feel like that's how change is made. So.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you on that. But I think that there's very little of that left now. You know, like there's, like our generation grew up in between before the internet and after the internet. So we have that balance, you know, we have that before the internet, we have the value of actually talking to people, actually being on the phone and shit.
Yeah.
You know, doing that stuff. And we also lived in social media, so we know what that's like. And we've also already done it for a long time, so we know the repercussions or what it does and stuff like that.
From jump, before anybody even got on AOL, you knew that there's going to be creepers and lurkers and shit on there. And it's the, you know, the black hole, and everybody's got a fake name. You don't use your real name on the fucking internet. Like, what? What is you doing? Who raised you?
I didn't know shit about the internet, honestly, when I got on it. But I mean, like, we have that balance, you know? So that's becoming the rare now. It's like, not the rare. What's the word I'm looking for?
Rarity. I guess it's just become rare, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, become.
Like that unique. Balance, you know?
So no. I hope totally... people can get that better, because I hope people, oh my gosh, we live in humans are meant to be in communities, and to get our that need fulfilled superficially through screens is not going to work. It's not. That's just not how we're built.
So yeah, that was we cry together.
Yeah, we cry together. Fucking A. We cry together was really tough. It was giving a lot of people PTSD, thinking back to hearing my parents fight. I was waiting for shit to fly and hit. You know what I mean? I was listening to hear she's gonna throw a hairdryer or some shit. That's what I would hear. So
no, yeah, it definitely rehashes a lot of like feelings. Like, there's a lot of shit she said in there that I was like, whew. Like,
yeah, she started tearing up.
Yeah,
like, don't cry, girl.
You be doing a lot of that shit just to hold down a relationship, you know? But yeah, it unpacked a lot. So
people felt taken for granted.
Yeah, definitely. Both of them showed how they felt. So the other song we picked was Mother Eyes Sober.
Oh God.
So I'm gonna play a little bit of it.
Not another girl pod.
Fill everybody, one man standing on two words, heal everybody, transformation then reciprocation, karma must return, heal myself, secrets that I hide buried in these words, death threats, ego must die, but I let it purge, pacify broken pieces of me, it was all a blur, mother cried, put their hands on her, it was family ties, I heard it all, I should have grabbed a gun, but I was only five, I still feel it when
that one's rough from the get-go.
Yeah.
Like, he starts unleashing deep trauma.
He walks us down his memories of some really traumatic points in his low life when he's just a kid. He's just a baby when this shit happens. He's five.
Yeah, he feels like his mother's being unprotected. Like, he feels all kinds of shit at such a young age because he's seen, you know, her go through physical abuse as well. And then he ends every verse with, you've never felt grief, or he says, you ain't felt grief till you felt it sober.
Yeah.
And those words are just so fucking touching. Like, it's insane, like, how...
Yeah.
How true that is, you know?
I mean, and it's a bit of a full circle because a lot of people mainstream were introduced to Kendrick with Pour Up Drink. And here he is talking about being sober. And the generational traumas that he's trying to break, you know, and he's trying to get past in his own life.
So in this song, Kendrick talks about the trauma of seeing his mom being beaten, and then of his cousin being accused of touching him and it not being true.
Yeah.
Which is tough.
Yes. That's a trigger warning. That's honestly a trigger warning. He need to put a trigger warning for real on that song, especially because, like, that's something hard to grapple with when you're that young and you're trying to find your own words coming up in the world, you know what I mean? And he said it himself, he's the only child. He was pretty much spoiled every Christmas for 7 years and they didn't believe him. And he was like, what the hell? Like, is there something wrong? Did I not remember that right? Like,
yeah, what and then happened? He starts questioning himself.
Yeah.
That's rough. Yeah, you're right. It should be a trigger warning. Because, yeah, dealing with something that young, anybody can manipulate your train of thought because you don't know really what's going on. Like, things aren't being explained to you correctly.
And something so sensitive, like to be accused of molestation, that's heavy. And that's a trauma that is runs very deep in the Black community, unfortunately, because of shit that's been passed down and that's happened to us for a long time. And that's happened to our ancestors and our family members. Shit that goes on behind closed doors with uncles that doesn't get talked about. You know what I mean?
No, but you're right. Because he does kind of go into that being passed down in the Black community in this song.
Yeah, he touches on it. I mean, it takes me to that Denzel movie with Derek Luke. Was it Antoine Fisher?
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. And that's immediately what came to my mind was the scene where he was explaining in his childhood how his aunt was molesting him in the basement. And this was going on and how that affected him growing up. So this is not a unique story, unfortunately. And but he's able to be vulnerable and tell this side of it, even though he wasn't touched.
Yeah. And then he goes on to explain, like, you know, I guess later on he addressed it with his mom. And basically his mom was trying to, in a sense, protect him because she was molested at some point.
Yeah.
And just kind of felt that maybe he was being dishonest for a reason. So in her mind, she was protecting him. So it was just a lot of unpacking of real trauma that happens. And, you know, people that are affected because his cousin was probably sentenced for that or, you know, who knows what happens. I don't think he addresses that in the song, does he?
I mean, I don't know what the relation is with the cousin. If it's the cousin of the uncle that hit. Like, who hit his mom is what I couldn't figure out. But the uncle got revenge. So I'm wondering if it's the son of that uncle or if I don't, you know what I mean? I don't know which cousin.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, something, when I was, like, reading it and listening to it for this, I was wondering the same thing. Like, who hit the mom? Because he does say that his uncle gets revenge. But it doesn't It doesn't say, you know, but I mean, that's trauma within itself. And then he starts breaking down into how this is affected in Black families. So I'm glad you touched on that, Tiger.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he goes back into our history here in America, how it was basically beat into us. A lot of Caribbean men understand this as well, because that's unfortunately where a lot of homophobia comes from in those communities, is because colonizers were coming and enslaving the people, forcing them to breed with each other, forcing dominance on the local, you know, Native Americans who are there too. They would force men to violate each other, and they would violate the strongest man in a lot of these villages to show dominance and to prove that they're, you know, stronger than your man, than all your men. So that is a trauma that's been passed down through slavery and, you know, within the native communities, the Caribbean communities, South America, all over. It's one of the tactics that they used. So it's just heavy to see where it's unfolded here in this day and age. We're not all that far removed. That's all, you know.
Yeah, it carries
down. That's what is there to show you. Yeah, we're not done yet. There's a lot of work still left to be done within everyone, because it's still in our DNA, in our bones. It's still in us. So we have to unpack it and we have to fix it. Otherwise, it's going to get worse when it gets passed down.
Well, I think if you listen to the whole album, Kendrick kind of is telling that story.
Yeah.
Of how he had to segregate himself, take himself out of all of this, and like really dig into his trauma, rehash it,
exactly,
and heal from it, and actually be sober and away from everything while heal from it. And then now he's like kind of like rebirth, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, he did it for his wife and his family, you know what I mean? He had to do it for them. And honestly, it's not about us, is what she's saying at the end of the album as well. Because actually, at the end of Mother I Sober, when they're going into their outro, they're singing and they're basically saying, you know, well, he's saying, you know, I've given y'all an hour of my soul and that's enough. I'm sorry y'all had enough, but I gotta go. I choose me.
Yeah, that shit's dope. Yeah. At the end of Mother I Sober, he does say, or his kids are, or I think it's his wife, you broke a generational curse. And then his kids are saying, thank you, Dad. So that's like, that's beautiful right there, because he unpacks so much, but then he closes it with this. And I think that is just encouragement within itself.
Yeah, it's a great chapter close. On the growth that he's done in the last 5 years. And it's given everything that I think we are looking for in maturity. Kendrick is the same age as us. We grew up at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, so a lot for him, like him and Cole, a lot of them, they're revered as, you know, voices of this generation. So he's really speaking to us. You can see the growth. He's got a family, he's, you know, getting married and whatnot and growing up. And like, we see that a lot of that's happening with our peers, or we're going through it ourselves. So, you know, it's really great to see him mature, but still stay within the realm of like Good Kid, Mad City, with the storytelling, the production wise, you know, the level of instrumentation just stays so crisp, the choir background. And I just wanted to say, this album, he did Kanye better than Kanye did it. I'm just going to put it out there. I'm just going to say it. The Mr. Morale, he fucking brought back Black Panther synth, you know, 808s and drums, that pattern. Like, he's got bits and pieces from all of his works sewn into this body in this, you know, this album. Just incredible. He did an amazing job.
I absolutely agree with you that he has all of himself in this album. Like, he gave us a little bit of everything, like what Kendrick is, I guess you can say. And that's even deeper than that statement, because he really did pour out his heart on this and said, here, motherfuckers, you've been bugging for something, boom,
exactly, here's my soul for an hour, you're welcome, take that shit.
Yeah, but he did it so beautifully, like I am just so pleased with it. And the last song that we wanted to break down for you guys is Auntie Diaries.
Oh man. I felt offended. I felt offended at first because, like I said, I pride myself on being a dope ass auntie. So I was like, oh, aunties, let me hit this one. Let me press play. He talking to me. Yes, he's talking to me and Ari Lennox. Okay.
And then he's like, my auntie is a man now.
I was like, oh, hell no. No, what happened? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Back up. Back up.
Let's play it. Let's see.
Hot place and ways the mind can't figure out. Hot place and ways the mind can't figure out. Hot place and ways the mind can't figure out.
This is how we conceptualize human beings.
Not another girl pod.
Monty is a man now. I think I'm old enough to understand now. Drinking Parmesan with her hat turned backwards. Motorola Pager off-white guest jacket. Blue Air Maxes, gold chains and curl kits. 93 Nissan wax job, the earliest. Big social, big personality, vocal. Played the underground verbatim and stayed local.
My auntie is a man now. I really like that beat.
Like, yeah, the beat is super chill and vibe.
And I think that's why I kept listening to it. So I've literally been walking around all day today just saying my auntie's a man now.
No. No. No, mine is fuck it up, fuck it up, fuck it up, fuck it up.
I've been just, my auntie is a man now. So I wonder what people think walking down the grocery, like, my auntie's a man now.
Oh my gosh.
Here in Whiteville that I live in.
Honestly, I'm gonna be honest. I don't have any gay people in my family or any outright gay people or anything like that. Not nobody that I would even like can consider slightly. You know what I mean? But I have my best friend who's gay, and I have another really close friend there. He's also gay too. So like, I don't know. It's just like not something that I ever saw as being, I don't know. I mean, I know we were making fun of them in the 90s, but like everybody got made fun of in the 90s. Like everybody got it though.
Yeah. You know? It was different in the 90s.
It was bad in the 90s. I know. I had to like, I gave myself a pep talk in like kindergarten, because I knew there was like kids that came from DC and came to my school. I was like, oh man, there's about to be niggas there. Oh, damn. Let me get prayed up.
Yeah, no, growing up in the 90s and like going to school, like anybody can get it. It didn't matter. And I was like a chubby kid, so I would always be getting like made fun of and shit.
And if you didn't have the right clothes or fashion, it was just a wrap for you.
You were
it
fucked. Was a wrap.
Exactly.
But I actually grew up with an aunt that I don't think I know she's not openly gay, but like I always wondered if she was gay just because of how she dressed and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like, this is back in El Salvador. It's just,
do most women like wear skirts and dresses there?
Yes.
Yeah.
So my aunt dresses in like jeans and flannel, and she cuts her hair short. But she's also very Catholic. Like my grandma was Catholic and stuff. So I always wonder. I always wonder. Like, I wonder if she's ever wanted to. So I always like wonder about that from her. So just listening to this song is just like, when he starts saying, you know, she wears her hat backwards and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and he
does like
this type of stuff. I'm like, man, that's my auntie.
yeah.
I feel bad because, you know, in our culture, it's like really frowned upon. Like,
yeah.
Especially if you're Catholic, like, hell no. That shit is not.
I mean, that's the way it is. My one of my really good college friends, she's Filipina, and her family, she's got an auntie who I thought was an uncle. But that's Auntie Elizabeth, and you know, she got a mustache and it looks like she has a girlfriend too, but I don't ask no questions. But they Catholic too, you know, it's very similar in that respect. So but she wear flannel and the white tennis shoes that you use for grilling and the blue jeans.
Yep, that's my auntie.
And a watch.
Right there. Yeah, yep, she's got her watch. She's got her little chain too.
Okay.
But yeah, so I guess my biggest takeaway from this song is just like how cool he was about it. You know, like it didn't really bother him.
No.
He was just like, that's my auntie. Yeah. And then like he had questions like, why are people like being mean to her? And it was just kind of like blown off as kind of like,
oh yeah, one of my favorite lines from this song, it was like, she wasn't gay, she ate pussy. That's yeah. That's what the difference. I was like, the fuck?
Yeah.
Wait, like, when did that become the rule? You're not gay, you just eat pussy. Okay.
Oh man. Yeah, and then he touches on his cousin who actually becomes a girl.
Yeah.
And also with the Catholic stuff and the religion, like he goes into that and saying like, you know, his cousin probably felt some type of way because of the religion.
Well, I mean, I'm sure. Okay. In the Black church, there are a lot of gay men in the Black church and a lot of them are in the music ministry and or other, you know, capacities. And it's not talked about, but they are in the gay. They are gay. Black men in the church all the time. And from what I took away, it was like the preacher was trying to shun his cousin, even though his cousin was probably one of the most devout people in the church, probably, or most, you know, active in the church, trying to, you know, cover up or whatever, you know, trying to get right or be a man of God, and just wrestling with that in his mind. The state of his soul in eternity, you know what I mean? Like, I'm gonna be judged for who I am by the Most High for the rest of eternity. That's a lot to weigh on anybody. Okay, everybody's got their own sins and they all weigh equally. Okay, so I understand where he gets that anxiety from. And then to be have someone point at you or put you on blast in front of the whole congregation is what I'm imagining from the story, right? Is that they're putting his cousin on blast and Kendrick is there to stand up for his cousin. It's just such an important moment in healing of trauma and just family isolation, feeling like he was the black sheep probably of the family. And like no one really understood him or what he really wanted to do with his life. And so to still have that support from his cousin, even if maybe they hadn't spoken in a while, or, you know, I'm sure it meant the world to his cousin.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And he definitely says that in the song, just like how you're saying it, that he stood up for his cousin and it actually meant something to him. Because he says, that's when you looked at me and smiled and said, thank you. The day I chose humanity over religion.
Mm.
That's fucking dope.
Yeah, I really like that line as well.
As you were talking about that, as like, you know, him standing up for his cousin. In this song, he also mentions that he got rap from his auntie. He said something like, that was the first time I seen rap or something like that.
Well, I mean, this song and the Mother I Sober songs they both tie into each other, into the fact that there's a part in the Mother I Sober song where he admits that all these women gave me superpowers, what I thought I lacked. And I'm like, that line is so real. And I thank Kendrick for that, because He's like, I pulled a lot of strength and a lot of who I am from all these women, incredible women around me. And they built me, you know what I mean? And he's giving, he's paying back homage to his people, to what made him. I really love that, that line, that lyric.
Yeah, I agree with you. He talks about that in Mother Eyes Silver. He says that he really thanks all the women. All those women gave me superpowers, what I thought I lacked. I pray our children don't inherit me and feelings I attract.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fucking dope. You're right. I didn't even. But Whitney's gone now. By the time you hear this song, she did all she could. Is he talking? Do you know who Whitney is?
I'm assuming that's his wife.
He's yeah.
Mentioned Whitney, I think, twice on this album.
Yeah, I think that's who it is.
Looked up the name of his son, Enoch.
Enoch?
Yeah, for a year. So he's the son of Methuselah, who's before Moses. So he lived exactly 365 days. So that's why the year is named after him.
Wow. So I thought
that was interesting.
That's dope.
You know, I started doing my Kendrick fan shit.
Yeah, because he starts with that, doesn't he? Like 365 days. I've been going through something.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes, he's been going through some Enoch.
Oh man, but I mean this song is dope just to you know, tell their story. I love the way he ends it, and I because he's like, it's so fucking true, like the words that he says in this. He says, reminded me about a show I did out the city, that time I brung a fan on stage to rap but disapproved the word that she couldn't say with me. You mm-hmm. said, Kendrick, ain't no room for contradictions. To truly understand love, switch positions. And then he goes into saying, faggot, faggot, faggot. We can say it together, but only if you let a white girl say
the nigger. I got you, money.
It's fucking true. It's fucking true. Like, fuck y'all.
I mean, but we say the same thing with bitch.
That's true. So. I mean, I don't know. To me,
gay black women get to say whatever the fuck they want to say. Okay.
For real. They do. They do get to say, but it's just like, and that's what my point is. Like, anybody can say whatever the fuck they say, as long as they're allowing people to continue to use the N word like that. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
I don't know. How do you mean that?
Like with him, so to me this statement means like I'm gonna say faggot, 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 because y'all fucking said some shit to me over telling this white girl not to say the n-word.
Yeah,
so that to me, I'm saying he's right. Like, fuck y'all, like we're gonna say whatever the fuck we want to say because you guys continue to use these derogatory words towards the race that you're not. Even though that in the black community, the N-word is used, but like, that's your community.
Yeah, we're allowed to use it. Just like I hear gay people call each other the F-word all the time. Exactly. I never really used it in the first place. Honestly, it came about in the 90s again, because it was cool to say that shit, because you want to be like the white boys and skater dude and all that other shit. I never said that shit. It didn't come naturally in the first place. And I don't know. It wasn't hard for me to give up the word. You know what I mean? When it came to when my best friend told me she was gay, and when people
faggot.
You know? Yeah, it's just like,
it wasn't a word that was in my vocabulary. Like, hey, faggot.
It doesn't even, I just be like, bitch, you gay. You gay as fuck. And that's what they are. The fuck? Gay. Duh.
And that's, I strongly believe that. Like, see how easy it was for us to just be like, nah, like, that's not a word. Like, I strongly believe that. Like, if you don't use that word, it's not hard for you not to say it.
Exactly. So if you've been using it, that's why it's so hard for you to stop.
Okay. Exactly. Exactly. Only
the people who have a problem with, okay.
And that's my point. Like, fuck y'all.
All right, okay, we did the roundabout way. I had to get there.
We took the long way.
The That's okay. We just had to flush it out, you know.
Had to break that down. Sometimes I don't be saying shit right.
And some clarity. I'm gonna get it out.
Yeah. And that's good, because sometimes I don't be saying shit correctly and comes out like super wrong, and I'm just like, no, that's not what I'm trying to say.
That's all right. I got your back. You got this.
appreciate it. But exactly. That was our breakdown of those three songs, guys. Definitely listen to the entire album, because it's for fucking sure. dope. It's fucking
real
dope.
Quick, what are your other than these three? Well, I mean, we said they weren't like our top favorite, but what are your favorites? Like, give me your top three favorites of the album.
So N95.
Mm-hmm.
My top of the entire album? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, scratch that. I like Rich Spirit.
Okay, I love that song.
I like the Why We Cry Together. That one's one of my favorites.
Okay.
And then Mirror.
Okay. For me, it's Count Me Out, Silent Hill, and Die Hard.
Die Hard was a big time favorite for a lot of people.
Die Hard's going to be the bop of the summer. He got mm-hmm. Blast on there. He about to have the girls jamming with Blast. And then, you know, I was listening to Rory and Mal, their predictions or whatever for this album. And, you know, they were saying that Rory said it was probably going to be more melodic and have more R&B samples. And I guess he did have more R&B, because he also had like Summer Walker on there, but it wasn't, I mean, he was singing to himself, but it wasn't like,
it was barely like, it was just,
yeah, like, I don't think it was like that. It was more poetry, and then it was bars, and then it was like poetry turn up and then bars, you know. Like,
I agree.
It went straight from feels to high energy.
I mean, I guess you can consider them R&B songs, because he has R&B singers on it, but I right. wouldn't, like, I wasn't leaning, maybe Purple Hearts to me.
That one's the most R&B that I would consider, yes.
For sure. Die Hard is more like, you know, like a little summer vibe.
Yeah, vibes.
Yeah. But I mean, this whole album is fucking dope. I love it.
He did a great job. Honestly, I like right off the bat, I probably liked about 8 or 9 songs off the album. And that's more than half of the album. So
yeah, no, off the top, for me. I agree. I mean, just like the first half was fucking dope. I just love
honestly Kendrick. I kind of like the second half. I don't know, for me it was like every other song, it was like every other song was hitting for me
on the first half.
The first half let me go to the first half. Okay, so N95, Die Hard, Father Time, then Rich Spirit, and then I was like, oh no, what the fuck is this on We Cry Together? And I was like, oh lord. So then Purple Hearts and Count Me Out, I like that. I don't really like Crown that much. And then Silent Hill, I did like Savior. Auntie Diaries, I was like, what the fuck again? Then it was Miss Morale. And then Mother, I Sober, I'm like, oh no, what's happening again? And then he finally let me go with Mirror. So I did like Mirror too. So that's why I'm like, it was a roller coaster of emotions for me. So I was like, oh, I like this. Oh no, what the fuck is that? Well, we're going here? Really, Kendrick? We're going to open up that drawer, that closet. We're going to take out that shoebox in the back and open that up.
We're unpacking really? All this shit right now. Oh, right
golly.
Now.
All right. Spring cleaning. Okay.
I like the way he started the United in Grief. That was a dope song as well.
Yeah.
I think I like We Cry Together, because I know that there's like a lot of criticism into this song, but I think I like it is because I like a lot of heavy rap. Like, that's okay, the type of shit that I like listen to. Yeah, you that's know?
Definitely boom bop. You play that shit at night in New York and you got to see the red taillights and shit in the city. That's some, you're on your Benny the Butcher vibes a bit.
Yeah, for sure. So I think that's why I was just like, oh shit, you know, like I was,
it was
like,
the piano,
right? So that's my take on that. It's not really that I like to fucking digest trauma and shit.
But just, no, the beginning of that song, it was very beautiful, like I said, like melodic, that song coming in
Florence and the Machine, right? That's her.
I think so. And she just sounded so beautiful. And then you fall into this pit of hell. What, this is what the earth really sounds like.
And it was like, and oh,
here.
Shit.
Like, oh, fuck, we're stuck here. And then at the end, it's like, stop avoiding the conversation. Oh, damn. You gonna point the finger right in my face. Mm-hmm. Damn. Yep. I thought we got away with this shit.
I like it. I like it like that. Just be fucking putting it out there. Boom. This is what it is. Father Time was very touching as well. That's yeah. always dope.
Yeah. That one, he was speaking to the men on that one.
For sure. For yeah. sure he was. And there's a lot. We love you guys. Count Me Out was fucking dope. I love that song.
I love that one. That one's probably my favorite right now out of the whole album. And I just feel like it's such a fucking Gemini song. I don't know how to explain this to you, but when people underestimate me, I love that shit. Keep doing that. And like, you yeah. know, I just feel like I recently put in a lot of work on myself, so I just feel like I'm really right there. Yes, I love it when you count me out. Just wait, because I'm here, baby. I'm here this year, and Kendrick showed up. He's like, you know, did his ultimate Gemini shit. I was telling you earlier, he dropped this shit at the beginning of the fucking Mercury retrograde, right before Gemini season. As a Gemini, we in this bitch. Okay, sorry, Tauruses. Y'all was great. But here we come.
All right. Shit, I'm chilling, girl. Don't worry about it. I'm ready. I love Gemini season. I don't know if that's normal for a Taurus. I don't even know about fucking.
I mean, I feel like both of the Taurus and Gemini, it like blends in together because we start off the summertime. And I just feel like this time of year, it's just, you know, we're finally done with most of the pollen and sneezing and shit. And it's about to be Memorial Day weekend and cookouts and being in the pool, and we're about to start this shit the fuck off. Yes.
And then I just love how he closed it out. I chose me. I'm sorry. I chose me. I'm sorry. Like, hell yeah, Kendrick, you fucking did that shit. Get up out of here.
And I love that song. That song was a really good feel good song.
Yeah, it was. It was a good closer. Closer.
It was a good bounce.
Closer.
Closer.
But yeah, he did that shit. And then this motherfucker's in Ghana. He said, bye. Peace.
Peace out. I'm going to leave you with this. I'm already out. I'm already on vacation by the time you hear this, broke bitches.
Oh, man. He really did call us broke. Inadvertently.
Okay, I'm out. Bye.
Bye. So,
I love it.
You want to get into Ozark?
Oh, girl, yes. I just finished that. I know it was late, but I just finished the series finale of Ozark. Whew, it's been a wild ride. I'm gonna miss the Bird family. Not Wendy. Fuck that bitch.
Yeah, fuck Wendy Bird. Man, I don't know how many times I've been like, you still here, bitch?
Right? Someone should have been captured. Bruh, I was waiting the whole last fucking episode. It's like, please, someone take this bitch out. Y'all gotta make up for fucking Cersei. Somebody, one of these blonde bitches gotta get it. Okay. Yep. And I, you know, it shouldn't have been Helen. That's all I gotta say.
Yo, I was so like that. I feel like this episode was kind of like a roller coaster, or this episode, this last season. Yeah, like it was just like, oh shit, and then like it had like its little slow moments, like barely, and then it started picking up, and then you like made your little predictions, and nah, they took your predictions. No, fuck that.
every single episode, it was like, okay, we just narrowly escaped death from this end. Here's how we fuck it up over here. And we gotta escape death over here now. Like, goddamn, y'all don't ever learn your lesson.
No, they just keep making shit worse. Ruth's character at the half of this season, or this last season that they had, that shit was dope. Like, she was fucking amazing.
I've always been a fan of Ruth and have been cheering for her. So I really wanted her to fucking make it. I was cheering for her. You know, I don't understand. I don't know. I don't get that small town mentality where people get stuck where they've been growing when they grow up their whole life and they just live there forever. Like, I don't get that. I'm ready to move, get the fuck out and see something new. And she was stuck there because of the land, her family, all of the past that's happened. And she really wanted Wyatt to come with her, Wyatt and Three. And I'm like, you gotta leave Wyatt behind. This nigga is stupid as hell. He is dumb as a box of rocks. Okay, what is he doing with Darlene Snell? That's the first clue you should have had to been like, okay, maybe he's just a savant. Maybe he may be a bit autistic or something. There's something not quite right here, because who in their right mind would choose to be with Darlene Snell willingly?
Right.
Who?
Right. That shit was disgusting. I'm sorry. It was fucking nasty. So
gross.
When they would show us, like, it's like, why? Why are you doing this?
My eyes.
She was so nasty. And then they got
the nerve to raise the Netflix prices after making us see that. God damn it.
Fucking Netflix.
Netflix, how dare they? My bank account was like, are you sure you want to keep these niggas? They wildin'.
You seen that bitch. I know you seen that bitch.
Come on now. Shit. But no, Marty Bird, I was disappointed with Marty in this last season, honestly. He never stepped up. I don't know what the fuck happened with him. He can talk his way out of a paper bag, but can't say shit to his kids or his wife. That shit infuriates me. I was like, when are you going to yoke this little nigga Jonah up? He need to get right. I'm like, you guys were able to straighten out Scarlett, but like, I mean, Charlotte. Charlotte is my niece. Goddamn. My bad. Hey, auntie, love you. Auntie not a man now.
No, but you're right. Like, I would get so mad when they would just let Jonah fucking do whatever the fuck he wanted. I was like, what in the fuck is going on right now?
I was like, you just letting this little nigga buck all over the place. You're not going, oh, what is y'all doing? And then by allowing him to be separate from the family for so long, it like came back to bite them in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
He should have gotten his fucking house in line, in order.
He should have.
And he should have fucking put the foot down with Wendy a long time ago. I don't know who this bitch thinks she is. She's off her meds. This bitch is nuts. She's lost her shit.
She was fucking crazy that whole fucking season. Like, all the shit that she fucking did was like, what the fuck are you doing, bro? Like,
it's just so childish. I'm just like, are you even thinking right now? Like, why was she trying to get close? When she was
upset with Ruth being a part of it.
Yes, and like, yes.
Shut the fuck up, bro.
Like, Ruth has been there for the family the whole time. What are you talking about? These bitches have no loyalty out here at all. Like,
zero.
People who put them on, they didn't protect not a damn one of them. Mm-mm. They only worried about their fucking family. If you're not worried about their family like they worried about their family, then fuck you. That's how it is.
Exactly. So fuck that plastic bitch that gave away Ruth.
She was scary. Ooh, her eyelid was twitching and she was looking at that gold eyeshadow on her eyelid. Ooh, it was jumping.
Oh man, I was like, man, stupid plastic bitch. I was so upset. I was so mad. Like, who the fuck? Why? Why?
I don't know. I don't understand why Wendy and Marty didn't prep her beforehand, or maybe they were still trying to play nice and keep her as innocent as possible. But honestly, at the end of the day, you saw a man get murdered and you helped clean it up in your office. So there should be no more pretending at that point. And you guys should have given her the protocol when dealing with fucking Camilla. What are you like, first of all, we know this bitch is means business, because Camilla has had the name Camilla in this show and in Queen of the South. She's fucking Camilla Vargas. Okay. So I already knew this bitch was about her business, because she wasn't fucking around with Epifanio in that series. Okay. I don't know if you watched that.
No, but Tiger said, I know this bitch. I know this bitch.
I do. Y'all don't know. Fuck. fucking Camila Vargas, you don't play with her, okay? I was like, that's his sister? Oh, it's a wrap. She got the whole cartel on lock. She been, this is what happened to her. I'm like, oh, she just got remarried. And, you know, this is the continuation of that fucking story. That's exactly how I looked at it, because the bitch was the same shit.
You're like, happened it's the same cartel. Right.
Exactly.
The same bitch.
She had the same first name. I was like, is she the same? It's Camila Vargas. She came back, okay?
Oh, she's man, that's hilarious.
Yes, it was great to see her back. But honestly, I wish that she would have came on sooner into the show. I felt like her character was rushed, and it could have been flushed out way better. She's such a great actress.
I agree with you. I think they could have cut her son's character shorter to have.
Yeah, Javi didn't need all that screen time. He was a lot of fucking. I could smell his cologne off the screen.
he
just looks slimy.
He smells like cologne and armpits. Because you know he's been in that clothes all day,
exactly, running around. Oh my gosh, I know exactly what you're talking about. Cologne and armpits, that's funny.
That's that man smell that's been like walking around all day,
the musk.
Yeah
No, but I definitely felt that, you know, like I said, Camila should have had more screen time. I felt like the scene with her and Ruth at the end was weird as fuck. Because why is she just walking out of the woods? And, you know, Ruth, I thought you had a gun. I thought Ruth had a gun. She didn't get another gun? Or like, why? Like, you know what you're doing. First of all, why did Ruth stay after she got away with killing Javi? I don't understand that part. Why the fuck would you stay in the town? You had all the money in the world to get the fuck out of there, start a new life. You had even after you got the clean record, I would have been out of here.
Because she trusted Marty again.
Nah, she wanted revenge. At the end, it was because she wanted revenge. She wanted to, you know, take shit from them, reclaim shit from them, make it hard for them.
That's true.
And it was all to be petty. And she could have just left and cut, you know.
Because that's how humans are. They're greedy.
Yeah.
You can't just, like, be happy with one thing. You're greedy.
Yeah.
Like, I would have dipped. I would have fucking dipped.
Hell yeah, I would have dipped. I would have got out of there before anybody knew what was what.
I would have taken three and left Wyatt. I would have been like, three, let's go. Boom. Yeah. Make a new life.
Yeah, I would have been left. I would have been left for sure. I mean, I don't know why she continued to want to be in that life, but she should have cut bait when she's seen all these people dying around her left and right. So.
Oh, for sure. As soon as Wyatt died, I would have been out of there. Like, I need to get the fuck out of here.
And she had the nerve to go. I mean, I can't believe she pulled it off. I was happy she pulled it off, but I can't believe she pulled it off when she killed Javi.
Seriously, I couldn't either. I thought she was going to be fine. When her pool was getting concrete in it and that dude was down there.
Yeah,
I was like, man, this
looking good.
Yeah, I was like, this is a badass bitch right here. She's gonna be fine. She's gonna get these motherfuckers and then boom. Plastic bitch.
I don't know how she got caught lacking. She should have had a piece on her at that point. You know what I mean? This is the life you're living now. If you're gonna stay in this kind of business, you better be straps
or and someone with you. Something.
Yes, what is she doing alone?
Yeah, like always carry someone with you. Get yourself a little bodyguard.
I mean, she should have had enough money, but I don't know. Nobody around those parts probably was smart enough.
True. You're right. Well, let's get out of here, Tiger.
Okay.
It's been fucking dope. We did some dope breaking down of Kendrick, which makes me happy. But thanks to all the listeners. Thanks for joining us. We will be dropping every other Friday on the CDB network. So be on the lookout for our podcast. Thanks to Cordy for joining us and all the episodes that she shared with us. I'm sure she'll join us at some point again. But she's on to big and better things. And Tiger, my new co-host.
Thank you. Yes, as always, it's been amazing. Thanks for having me. And I'm excited for the future.
Yes, and make sure to follow us on Twitter at Not Another GP and on Instagram, Not Another Girl Pod. And you can follow me on Twitter at BBunnyRue. I'm mostly active there. I'm not really on Instagram, but it's the same thing. So, Tiger, I don't know if you want to give them your socials.
My Twitter, bear with me, I'm new to this, is Danny Yells. So DANIYELLEZ. So Danielle's on Twitter, and on Instagram you can find me. I think I'm Danieller 63. What am I? I don't know what I, yeah, I'm Danieller 63. So check me out.
Yeah, check her out. And we're out of here, guys.
Bye.
We may not know which way to go on this dark road.
Mr. Like Karis one should have been on this. It was giving damn vibes. I was expecting to hear him barking.
True. I could totally see that.
Session 10. Breakthrough.
When I snort chest, then I think.
When I these and I make these right with the wrongs I done, that's when I unite with the father, son, till then I fight. Rain on me, put the blame on me, got guilt, got hurt, got shame on me, got six magazines
this
that
anger
me,
done DMX.
Every magazine was fame to me, it's a game to me, with the bedroom mat. Sleep, I ain't never had a fast with that. What's fair when the hearts and the words don't reach? What's fair when the money don't take things back? It's rare when somebody take your dreams back. I care too much, when I share too much, in my head too much, I shut down too, ain't there too much. I'm a complex soul, they layer me up, then broke me down, and morality dust, I lack and trust. This time around,
not
I trust myself. Please, everybody else but myself. All else fails, I was myself.
Out
of fear,
outdone
myself. This year, you better want yourself. Mask on the babies, mask on the hot wear, mask on the